A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's unrivaled, Alex Keery. Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback, former University of Utah great, as well as we watch the college football championship right here before our own eyes. Alabama right now leading Ohio State 21-17. One of the more just blatantly obvious targeting penalties as we've seen in a long time. And it seems like the national championship game has a targeting penalty now every year.
Seems like every game has a targeting
now,
penalty.
Yes. And one of the DBs for Alabama just absolutely put the top of his helmet underneath the chin of a tight end for Ohio State. Easiest call ever, right? He's out of the game. He's disqualified. Poor kid. He's going off the field and he's crying. And then the ref had to go over and explain it to Nick Saban, Scott. And I think everybody is afraid of Nick Saban. I mean, just the guy walks over and he has his mask on and he's kind of keeping his distance. And Nick Saban wants an explanation. And it's going, this is the most, he's like, just watch the video. It's the most obvious thing you've ever seen. And Nick Saban rolled his eyes and went, and he's like, whatever. And I'm going, what? Nick Saban is always just, listen, he is always getting the Nick Saban treatment. And that's because Nick Saban does what Nick Saban wants to do. As Alabama's now driving down trying to score again. It's just been
bad optics, and clearly Nick Saban should just not say anything.
Just go on. Yes, move
because,
on.
Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, the guy got just nailed.
Just blasted
the guy. I mean, it just
– it looked like it knocked out the guy. It was bad.
And you want to complain about that.
That's I'm just saying that's the way I feel when I'm around you, Scott. So the social distance thing has been really good for me. I get nervous being around you. You're like the Nick Saban to our show. I'm like
what,
the Urban
What do you mean
Meyer.
You get nervous?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You're the nicest Aflac salesman I've ever met. All right. Joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled, he is the Jazz insider for KSLSports.com. And the Utah Jazz have put on quite a show the last couple of games, at least, in this head-scratcher of a road trip for the Jazz. But they're just getting their feet under them. Ben Anderson joins us here on the program. Ben, Happy New Year. We haven't been able to talk to you since everything has started back up again, and we hope you're doing well.
Hi, Alex. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Ben, I'm curious. So the Jazz basically got the same team they've had, right? And then they brought it back Derek Favors. And are you surprised by some of the Jekyll and Hyde that's going on? Shouldn't this team be more, like, cohesive and further down the road? I feel like, wow, we're just trying to find ourselves again and figure out how to play together as a team.
Yes and no to sit on the fence for you. Yes, because they have so much talent, they should be better than they are. They should be playing better than they are. No, because Mike Conley missed so much time last year. Bojan Bogdanović missed the end of the season last year. They weren't playing particularly well together when everybody was healthy early in the season. So I do think they are still kind of in this process of working it out. So in that sense, I'm not surprised, but they are so talented. They do have guys that should be able to go out and give you 20 every night, that should be shooting better than they are, and we're not seeing that. And sometimes we're just not seeing any cohesion, and I think that's really weird.
Well, we've also seen in the last couple of games a Donovan Mitchell that has really shown up, 32 and 28 points respectively in that stretch. And so it really has depended in the last couple of games that Donovan's gotten his feet under him a little bit too.
Yeah, and there's no coincidence that the Jazz are 2-0 in those two games. He's that important, and he's at his best. He's a top 15, top 20 player in the NBA and should be the best player on the floor when he's playing his best. And I think that was the case in the second half against Milwaukee. I think he and Jeremy Grant were the best players on the floor in Detroit. And then Donovan came out and, you know, was so good in the first quarter that it helped the Jazz build a 20-point lead, and they were able to carry that. But that's why they won that game. So having Donovan playing that well is the great stabilizer and should allow some more freedom for the rest of these guys. Boyan coming back from his injury. Derek Favors trying to figure out what his role is now in the second unit with the Jazz. It should give those guys a softer landing trying to figure out what their role is.
So where is Boyan? I mean, clearly he, you know, he's not maybe at the kind of projection he's been in the past. Is the injury and the recovery, is it longer? Where is he?
Yeah, that's what I suspect. And he's kind of, you know, vacillated between wearing the wrist guard and not wearing it. The one time he did wear it on the floor, he shot really well and then hasn't really gone back to it, which is weird to me. But he's that type of guy who doesn't want to wear anything extra. He doesn't want to wear anything he doesn't have to. And certainly that's his right. He knows his game better than anybody else does. But, you know, there was a question when he got back to training camp of whether he'd be even available for the Jazz first game. Now, that was still, what, 2.5 weeks ago now when the Jazz had their season opener against Portland. And he actually played in all the preseason games. But I do think the diagnosis originally was that, hey, he might not be fully healthy when the season starts. So I think it's probably fair to assume that he's still not fully healthy, and he is still trying to get back on the floor and get back to 100%. Plus, he's never been a particularly quick starter in his career anyways. He's always had slow starts. He was miserable in the preseason last year. Usually he gets going around the All-Star break and really takes off. The Jazz would love him to kick in a little bit sooner than that, though.
Speaking of kicking in a little bit sooner, 15% fewer games this year means we are 15% more anxious to see, like, find, you know, any sort of pattern or anything that kind of indicates where the Jazz are at any given time. But because everything's been postponed and pushed back, and then on top of it you have fewer games, is there kind of that leeway, or is there just no room for it? It just seems like every team has sort of had a little bit of a who are we right now this early on in the season, because it's just been a whirlwind of 6 months for the NBA.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think having a more condensed season and less time to kind of develop yourself, even though it only ends up being, you know, 10 games in the end, and we'll see, there's games getting suspended left and right now. It feels like maybe we end up only playing 65 games. Maybe the league has to figure out how to take 2 weeks off and let everyone quarantine and just try and get healthy so they can come back and start over. And that's, you know, a ways down the road. But every game is going to be important. And so these weird losses, like tonight, the Suns lost to the Wizards without Russell Westbrook by 30 points. And, you know, the Jazz got absolutely decimated by the Nets without Kevin Durant. We've seen the Clippers lose a game by 50.
That was a pesto issue.
Yeah, right. But we've seen all – I mean, basically every team in the NBA this year, maybe the Lakers don't have one, has had a game where they've lost by 25. It just feels like every night somebody's getting absolutely decimated. And I think that's because of the rapid play, the lack of practice, lack of shoot-around. So you are just going to have some leeway because everyone's going to have these bad games. But the quicker you find yourself, you're going to have a huge advantage at the end of the season.
Maybe the weirdest storyline of the year so far is the Jazz getting their car jacked and all this cash before the Milwaukee game. I'm, like, wondering how a car that has $20,000 in laptops gets stolen right out in front of the hotel. And if that fires up the team, I don't know if anybody's spoken on it since, or if it, because it's a police matter, it was just kind of just, you know, shushed for the rest of us.
Well, and, you know, you don't want to talk about it too much because whoever's fault that ends up being, you don't want them to be the guy who, you know, left the keys in the car running when there are $20,000 in laptops. You don't want that to be, you know, Keon Dooling or one of the new Jazz assistant coaches. We don't really want to point the finger that early.
Some rookie driving the car around. Bring it around. Yeah, I'll just be right out in front. And
Where's Rudy? Where's Gobert?
There's something going on because he's not finishing well at the rim, and his free throws are at about 50% right now. Now, I could chalk up the free throws to saying he's shooting in an empty arena, and I would believe that. I think that's weird. I think the silence is weird. I think not having fans at your back makes you feel like you're more isolated, and I could buy that from Rudy Gobert. I don't understand why he went 2 of 7 from the floor the other night and then 1 of 5 yesterday against the Pistons. That really doesn't make sense. So he's still good. He's still making a lot of plays. He's running a little bit differently because he's playing with Mike Conley, and Mike Conley's initiating so much of the pick and roll, and it's been good, but it's still a little bit of a work in progress, so that could be part of it. But he just looks like he might not have the lift or might not have the legs that he's had in years past, so he's good. He's still one of the best centers. He's just missing a couple of those easy shots.
You can hear him on Jazz Notes on KSL News Radio throughout the day, and also the Jazz Notes podcast, and also on KSLSports.com. He's our Jazz Insider. Ben, thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Thanks, guys.
Taking the break. We come back. Looks like Alabama got a stop on defense, which is very dangerous because nobody can stop them on offense right now. 28-17, the Tide leading the Ohio State Buckeyes with 2 minutes left in the second quarter. Yeah, that's how many points are being scored so far in this national championship game. We'll come back. We got more to go. It's not MVP time. It's they so poo-poo. That's right. We saw enough bad over the weekend that we decided to hand out the anti-MVPs early in the week. Stay with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.